Now back to more of A Conversation with the Archbishop, with Archbishop Timothy Dolan and Father Dave Dwyer.
And in this Holy Weekend Triduum edition of A Conversation with the Archbishop, we are joined by an author, catechist, and pastor, Monsignor Peter Voggi. He illuminates the Ten Commandments and the way to live in a deeper relationship with Christ in his new book, The Ten Commandments We Keep, The Commandments We Keep, A Catholic Guide to Living a Moral Life. Welcome to A Conversation with the Archbishop, Monsignor Voggi.
Thank you so very much.
Hey, good to have you, Monsignor Voggi, my good friend. It's great to speak to you on Holy Week. Well, our listeners will be tuning in on Holy Thursday, so it's a great day to celebrate the bonds of the priesthood, and I cherish the one you and I have. So, and what a great parish, Little Flower in Bethesda. I used to help there, Father.
Well, they still remember you.
I'm glad they do.
With great affection.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, congratulations on the new book. It's you got one more to go in the series. Remind our readers, Monsignor Voggi, of the ones that have come out before this as part of it. It's a whole series on the four pillars of the catechism, correct?
That's correct. And we've done two or three already. The first is The Faith We Profess, A Catholic Guide to the Apostles' Creed. The second one, where you did the foreword, Archbishop, was The Sacraments We Celebrate, A Catholic Guide to the Seven Mysteries of Faith. And this one is called, as has been mentioned, The Catholic Commandments We Keep, A Catholic Guide to Living a Moral Life. And they're all by Ave Maria Press. It's called the Pillars of Faith series, and the remaining one is on prayer.
And we're trusting that that will come out. You working on that one?
I'm working on it already as we speak.
Excellent. The Holy four week. Pillars of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Monsignor Voggi, well done. I love it. I think we need more attention on the commandments. I gave them to our seminarians, thanks to Fred Griffey, a good friend of the two of us. And I said, fellas, one of the things you need to do as a parish priest is teach your people the commandments. And this is also a great way for them to prepare for the interior conversion of life, which Jesus constantly invites us to. And well done. Your book really lays that out.
I've tried to put with each commandment, it's kind of a three-pronged approach, the Jewish understanding of the commandment, the effect of the Christ event, I've come not to abolish but to fulfill, and finally some pastoral, practical implications for each of the commandments.
Mm-hmm. I found it when I reviewed it that it would be a great help. For instance, let's say somebody on a retreat that wanted to kind of do the type of examination of life that a retreat usually invites us toward. I thought it would be excellent for our RCIA classes to kind of go through the moral code of Christian discipleship. I thought it'd be good for our high school kids. Well done, an adult discussion group. Yeah.
And one idea that you gave me, Archbishop, you suggested as an appendix, put an examination of conscience.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We've done that, and this will help people read the book, and then, as you say, to examine the interior of life, there's a beautiful examination of conscience and how to go to confession at the end. And I know in New York you pushed it very big on Monday. Is that right?
Did we ever? In fact, earlier, Monsignor Voggi, earlier in the show, you obviously weren't listening, but earlier in the show, we our ratings are down again. Earlier in the show, Father and I were talking about this tremendous success. We had Reconciliation Monday, and all the reports in from the priests on the front lines is this was amazing. We even had, I didn't get a chance to tell you, Father Dave, one of the priests said they had to finally bring him a sandwich in the confessional because he was expecting to take a 20-minute break or something, and he heard straight from 3 till 9.
Oh, my, wow.
So, but you do that kind of stuff. Don't you
we
have
do
those?
Home for Christmas, and we've been doing that for 20 years. We advertise in the Metro with all the Metro stops with the different churches and the confession hours, and now our new Cardinal World has suggested this light on for you during the Wednesdays of Lent, that there's a priest in every parish from 6:30 to 8 on Wednesday evenings during Lent. Tonight will be the last one for this year.
Okay.
But they do work. And one of the things I wanted to mention, I read your beautiful pastoral on the sacrament of penance issued
on St. Patrick's Day.
It was the insight I had, which I think helps all of us. You said the cross lives between the altar and the confessional. Mm,
thanks for picking that up. Yeah,
where you talked about nearly 2,000 years ago on a long weekend in the upper room, three things happened. On a Thursday, the priesthood was instituted. We're celebrating that today, Holy Thursday, and also the Eucharist. And then on Easter Sunday night, the sacrament of penance was instituted in that same upper room. And they're all part of the Paschal mystery, the implications of the Paschal mystery.
Thanks for picking that up. And listen, congratulations. The book, because of the examination of conscience and the how-to of the sacrament, very, very valuable. It's amazing to me, we got three priests now talking, Father Dave, Monsignor Vaghi, and myself. It's amazing to me when people will confide in you why they've drifted away from the sacrament of penance. How many of them will simply say, oh, I don't know how to go anymore, or, well, I'm having trouble thinking of my sins.
Yeah.
Now, I'm the kind of guy that I'm thinking, wow, should I ever come to the stage in my life where I'd have trouble thinking of my sins? Because mine are pretty evident, and if I forgot them, Lord knows there's enough people around me who will tell me what they are. But isn't it amazing, Monsignor Vaghi, the number of people that say, I'm kind of nervous, I don't know how to go, or, oh, I don't know what's a sin anymore, everything's so changed. Well, your book, darn it, tells them how to go and gives them a good examination of conscience.
That's exactly right, and I've had, I think, every priest that's been at it. This is a common refrain. And I think when people start going back to the sacrament, they keep coming back. Mm-hmm. They begin, I think, and I know it's in my own life. I had a conversion experience, thank God, before I was ordained, but just a little before I was ordained. And it has been an integral part of my spiritual journey with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true for all of us. We're celebrating this week the Holy Father's anniversary, his sixth anniversary.
It was on Tuesday, the 19th.
Uh-huh. Tuesday the 19th. And it was interesting at the audience talk the week before last week, he talked about three simple rules for living a holy life. And the first was Sunday Eucharist. Second was daily prayer. And the last one, he said, and along the pathway of our lives, follow the road signs that God has given us in the Ten Commandments, read in the light of Christ.
See, he must have read your book.
He had to have read. I was waiting for you to say that. I knew you'd jump on that.
Did he speak of an ancient father of the church, Monsignor Peter Vaghi from Bethesda?
I think it was a very, very ancient father. I think that's exactly right. Speaking to an ancient archbishop, you know.
There you go.
I think it was a good duo.
Now, Monsignor Vaghi, tell us this. You mentioned this in the book. What about the refrain? Thank God we don't hear it much anymore, but we can all remember maybe 10, 20 years ago. Oh, those commandments, they're all negative. They're all just guilt trips. And we'll forget about the Ten Commandments. They're part of the old law. We're people of the Beatitudes. We're people in the Sermon on the Mount. Answer that criticism for us, Monsignor Vaghi.
Well, I think we have to look to the sermon, Matthew 5, because it's there that Jesus deepens, he interiorizes, he radicalizes, he specifies, he clarifies, he concretizes the law. And above all, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're empowered to live these commandments in a way that our forefathers in the faith were not. Mm-hmm. They were not simply etched on stone, but these have been etched in our hearts. And in the pouring of the Holy Spirit, we're able to live these commandments in a new way. Mm-hmm, and that's part of the good news. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, I've come to fulfill in his very person. And so we share the life of Jesus in our efforts to live these, you know, these commandments in the Jewish time. This was an effort to teach people to live as freed slaves. They had been slaved in Egypt. And these were ways in which free people live. And all the more in our dispensation. This gives us an ability to live in a new way.
Mm-hmm. But thanks for hammering home over and over again in this excellent book, The Commandments We Keep, A Catholic Guide to Living a Moral Life by Monsignor Peter Vaghi, put out by Ave Maria. You hammer home over and over again that the commandments, darn it, they're still with us. They were not overthrown by Jesus.
That's right.
And I like that very, very much. Do you think, should we still memorize them and all? Do you think, should we have our kids memorize them?
Well, please don't test me.
I just wrote a book on them.
But I do think it would be, I think memory is kind of a lost art, particularly as we get older. We have a reason to as a lost art, but certainly young people. I know most of us who grew up before the council, we remember the definition of a sacrament.
Mm-hmm,
there's so many things that were drilled in us, and they're part of our DNA as Catholics. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good thing, and it's a good thing to memorize them, and it's a good thing to have as
I part. Do too. I knew, too. I know, Monsignor Vaghi, I've often told in homilies, I guess I was in fourth grade, and the pastor, Father Callahan, Lord of Mercy on him, was coming in. And sister said, no, he's going to drill you on the commandments. So we all memorized 10 commandments. Glad we did. I still could get through. And sure enough, he came through, and I was the first one. He said, all right, Timothy, stand up and recite the 10 commandments. And so I stood up, and I said, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. And then I went blank. I was so nervous.
Oh my God. He
said, God bless him, he said, well, you have the most important one.
Oh, yeah.
And I've often used that, Monsignor Vaghi, because really what that says is put God first. Anytime you give anyone or anything the dominion, the power, the authority over your life that only God deserves, you're really committing idolatry. Not bad, was it?
I think that's why that was the first commandment,
don't you think?
So you've learned just the first commandment. Is that in your
I have not gotten beyond that, as you know from my language and my
I like when we have him on.
You certainly live that first one so well.
Thank you. I have no golden calves.
Well, and Monsignor, you say at the beginning of the book, when you're rooting all of the commandments in the ancient Jewish notion of how we live commitment or covenant, and you say that the one who has faith lives differently. Isn't that so important in our world where we have this tendency where we kind of want to blend in and everybody's kind of cool to be the same, just like everybody else?
Well, we should be countercultural. And increasingly, society is challenging us to be that way. That was a spinoff, by the way, from Pope Benedict's encyclical on Saved by Hope. The one who has hope lives differently. So I give credit to the Holy Father, but I changed the word to faith because it applies there as well, that those of us who are faithful and faith-filled, we live with hope, and we live differently. We rub against the grain of so much that's given out there as given, when we know that and should know, and hopefully will come to know better, that it's not part of the kind of new life that Jesus has made possible for us.
Mm-hmm. Monsignor, let me go back to that earlier thing we were talking about that you handled so well in the book. Those that would say, but wait a minute, we're people of the new law. St. Paul told us that we no longer have to pay attention to the law. It's all faith now. So what's all this emphasis on the commandments?
Well, I think part of it is that it's the commandments. Jesus was very explicit when he said, I have come not to abolish but to fulfill. And then if in the second part of each one of these 10 chapters explains how it was the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Jesus said even anger is a violation of the fifth commandment. The sixth commandment about adultery, Jesus says even lust is a violation of the sixth commandment. So what he's tried to do is interiorize the commandment that was on its face that were given to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
So they're a part of us.
You bet they are. And I think you said it in your book. You said, hey, we don't obey the Ten Commandments to be saved. We obey them because we are saved.
And we've been empowered to live.
Yeah, this is the basic law of responsive love to a God whose love saves us.
Absolutely.
And we want to do this.
It's in the living the commandments that we experience our salvation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that we can't win it, we can't achieve it. We're not going to show up at the judgment seat and say, "You got to let me in. I never disobeyed any of the Ten Commandments." No, we can't achieve it. But we say we have a God who loves us so much that we want to live as responsible children, right? And here's the way you do it:
and live like Him.
I like it.
Yeah. And as did Jesus. Here we are in Holy Week, focusing on really Jesus's passion is His obedience to the Father's will.
Mm-hmm.
And when people say, like you were saying before, Archbishop, well, why do we need commandments anymore? Let's just think positively. If there's nothing to obey, if there's no commandment, then how do we live out that Christ-like obedience?
Mm-hmm. So there needs to be something. Too, as we talk about, the truth will set us free to the extent that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and He has taught this by living these commandments, seemingly negative, but they're really life-giving. They set us free.
Mm-hmm.
They set us free to love others and, above all, to love God.
I really applaud the practical applications at the end of each of the commandments, because some people, you know, they think, well, what, the first commandment, idolatry, we don't make golden calves anymore. You bring it home. You mentioned some contemporary challenges. I know, for instance, in the fifth commandment, you get into stem cell research and all of that. These are real practical applications of the sacraments, huh?
And that's in many ways the beauty of the Catholic Church, that we're a living faith, and these challenges that the Church faces in every century and every time, somehow in the core of our belief, we have benchmarks that help us in the living tradition of our faith to be able to deal with these practical new issues that come up as a result of science, as a result of culture. And certainly we have help, we have aid from these signposts in our lives.
Yeah. Monsignor Vaghi, I used to, you're a parish priest, you're a darn good one, you go over to the school. I remember when I was a parish priest, when we'd have the kids come to confession, and we'd usually have a grade each Friday. So within the course of a year, they'd be coming four or five times. And I would use the examination of conscience, and I developed them age appropriate. And I thought, this is, and it was based on the Ten Commandments. And I said, this is a great catechetical tool. Does not meditation on the Ten Commandments sensitize our conscience? Does it not?
It helps form our consciences and sensitizes our conscience. And certainly children, we just had first confessions in our place. I'm always surprised and very happy. Instinctively, children get it, don't they? Mm-hmm. They get right from wrong. They may not know all the nuances, but they get right from wrong. And as we get older, somehow we lose that sensitivity unless we prayerfully try to appropriate these commandments, as you're suggesting, as a part of our prayer, as our part of our daily prayer, part of our examination of conscience.
Mm-hmm. We get better at excusing ourselves or rationalizing or overlooking it.
We do.
We get experience with that.
We certainly do. We can become geniuses in it.
You're right on target. Monsignor, as a brother priest, can I thank you?
Well, thank
for
you.
For really a contribution to sensitize Catholic living. Let me give it to you again, folks. The commandments we keep, A Catholic Guide to Living a Moral Life, by Monsignor Peter Vaghi, V-A-G-H-I, put out by Ave Maria Press out of Notre Dame. Do you get free football tickets now, Monsignor?
I'm surely hoping I will.
Would that violate the seventh commandment?
I want to highlight.
Well, a blessed Easter to you and your parishioners and your dear dad and family, okay?
Well, God bless. Happy Holy Thursday to you, Archbishop, and all the priests of the Archdiocese in New York.
I'd say hallelujah, but we can't yet,
all right?
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
God bless.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, you guys,
I can tell.
You've known him for a while.
We go way back. I've known him since 1987, so we're talking about, 24 years, when I was at the Apostolic Nunciature, the Vatican Embassy in Washington, D.C.
Oh, right.
And I got to know him, and I forget how, but, he's just a good priest who loves priestly company, and we'd go out, and we'd talk. I was in a book club with him. You ever been in a book club? And I miss it. There were four of us priests, and about once a month we'd meet. So at major read books, each guy would have the right to choose a book, and then he'd lead the discussion. And it wasn't always theology. You know, it could be a bunch of stuff, and I loved it. Yeah. And so he was part of that. And so anyway.
I've definitely never been in a book club with a guy who writes so many books.
You'd be a little intimidated.
You'd be a little bit. I mean, he's a pastor of a big parish. It's Holy Week, and he's working on that fourth book already. Mm-hmm.
he would tell us, too, a lot of these. He's a great speaker, and he's chaplain of the John Carroll Society in Washington, D.C., and a lot of these come from his First Friday conferences.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Does it pretty much every month?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Well, hey, we are in the midst of the Paschal Triduum, the great 3 days, and this is a big time for the entire church, but certainly for those who are being initiated into the Catholic Church, those who've been journeying for a year or more in the RCIA program. So joining us in just a few moments here on A Conversation with the Archbishop from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and the Evangelization and Catechesis Secretariat, Janine Marino, she'll be talking to us about ministering to youth, and particularly in the RCIA. So keep it here on A Conversation with the Archbishop on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM.